Welcome back to Head Games on Sirius Satellite. That was Marv Levy, who was on the show earlier this week, talking about overcoaching and how simplification is so crucial. U Sports is our weekly event on Fridays, and we're lucky, as almost always, to be joined by Fred Eng from the National Alliance for U Sports. And Fred, we wanted to focus on this latest episode that happened, I think it was November 4th, in Corpus Christi, where an amateur video provided to police showed a coach charging onto the field and tackling an 18-year-old referee. A crowd of parents then rushed on the field and surrounded them, most trying to break up the fight. The coach had been warned several times about cursing on the sidelines, police captain John Houston said, and the referee had ejected him from the game, and that's when he rushed in. Fred, is this just one more example of what's been happening too often lately?
Just one more example, Nick. You hit the nail on the head, and, you know, it just happens so often. You just wonder, you know, why is this going on, and why do we let it go on is the biggest question.
Well, let's talk about the background checks. I mean, how do these kinds of people end up being coaches, and is it basically impossible because we're dealing with a volunteer system where people sometimes are lucky to even have one volunteer coach make that kind of time commitment?
Well, that's exactly the case. See, what happens in youth football and every other youth sport in America, every parent goes out there and they sign their kid up and somebody says, wait a minute, before you leave, we need to tell you, you need to coach. And they say, me be a coach. And they never, in many, many cases, ever care or ask, who is this individual? And so you end up getting a person like this character who gets out there and loses his cool and attacks an 18-year-old ref with 5- and 6-year-old kids standing around watching it. So, you know, the thing is, Nick, is you know and I know and John knows and everybody in the country knows, this goes on all the time in youth sports in America. And it's nothing new, but the thing that is amazing is that we don't have laws, we don't have rules in communities to say, let's put an end to this, and there's ways to do it.
Well, let's go into the ways, because leagues do background checks. I know Big Brothers, Big Sisters has an FBI check, a background check, but how likely is it, once you've done a background check, that you're still going to prevent these sorts of things from happening? When people are caught up in the messiness of their lives, and they've been cut off at work, their wife's mad at them, you know, something's happening elsewhere, and they're just squeezing in time, doing the best they can to be there at the game. This coach, let's just play devil's advocate. He is swearing, but he does care about the kids. How can you prevent that?
Well, you know, the thing is when you talk about background checks, obviously we ought to do a background check if anybody's hanging around kids. I mean, we've got pedophiles, drug abusers, child molesters, the whole nine yards of people that can come out there and should not be around children. And if that's the case, we can find that out in a background check. But what you don't find out in a background check is how many people are out there that are the pedophiles that have never gotten caught, and they're still getting caught with it. What has to happen in these leagues is to be able to say, look, we're going to screen all the people that are there. But the onus really comes on the parent. And what happens so often is Mr. and Mrs. Smith, whoever in the family, drops Billy off, and they say, what a great time for me to go shopping. They don't even know who's in charge of their kid in this football program. So that's the biggest problem, and parents ought to know that.
Well, we're joined by John Neighbor, who has been one of the best speakers, most articulate, passionate speakers about U Sports. John, thank you so much for taking time to join us today.
Well, I'm flattered to be invited. Thank you.
John, you're out there on the West Coast, and Fred, through the miracle of technology, is in Florida. What kind of stories are you exposed to similar to this in California?
Well, I think that whenever an adult in front of children attacks another adult or even another child, it's going to make big national news just about anywhere. Certainly, the importance of sport is something that I really believe in, not because it's important to learn how to carry a football, but because you learn a lot of other personal skills in the process. You learn how to set goals, how to listen to instructions, how to abide by the decision of an authority figure. And these are the valuable life skills that sport is trying to teach to everybody. I feel really bad when the victory becomes a greater priority than the life lessons. And believe it or not, you're always learning life lessons just by what's going on around you.
Well, let's talk about the effect that this has, Fred and John, on these kids. These aren't, you know, 15-year-old kids that are in high school. These aren't even 12-year-olds that are beginning to have some sense of priorities, a sense of discipline. These are 5- and 6-year-olds. It would be an easy argument to make that I'm making right now that a 5- and 6-year-old that witnesses this could be scarred forever to some degree.
Well, you know, the thing is what John's talking about and we are talking about is the issue of children in a sports atmosphere. And these are the same kids that are in school all day long that are supervised by a principal, a school system, teachers that have been certified, and we have some kind of control in that environment. Yet on the same facility outside is a big field. And I'll never forget where one of my kids were playing one time, and I went by and I saw probably 500 or 600 kids playing youth baseball. And it was the beginning of the season, yet this school would not let one stranger on in the school without getting a pass and getting approved, yet all these people out there on the same facility after school coaching these kids, playing the role as a teacher. What is the difference? Why do we not make it a mandatory requirement that anybody uses public facilities must be screened, held accountable, and really supervised?
Okay, so what happens if we do that, John Neighbor, and suddenly we get, let's say, a 50% drop-off in the volunteers, but a wholesale improvement in the caliber of the coaches? Is that a worthy trade-off?
That is the crux of the matter. It is, in fact, a trade-off. I like to think of the analogy of if my wife and I want to go see a movie, we got to hire a babysitter for our kid. Now, if I can't find a sitter that's good enough, I have to give up the movie. You know, that's not an option. That's not a choice. And so when you're looking at putting adults in charge of children, I'm not as worried about pedophiles and criminals. I'm just worried about a bad role model that'll teach my child something I don't want her to learn. So in some cases, I can just imagine large meetings filled with the parents, and somebody says, okay, we all agree we want to have our kids in a little football league. Who's going to be the coach? And that long pregnant pause, we're waiting for the first person who, you know, is willing to do it. And there's a sense of relief as soon as somebody steps forward. Ah, wonderful, now I don't have to do it. And that's just a shame. It's a shame that that's the priorities we demonstrate.
One of the things we do with my foundation working with youth is we call it the 24-hour learning clock because there's a double standard that the time away from school is less important than the time in school. You can have a perfect school environment. You can have the best teachers, the best experience. But if you go home to parents and say that your education doesn't matter, you're getting too uppity because you're getting a good education, you're learning to make decisions for yourself, or let's say you go not to the parents, but you go to a playing field where these sorts of things can happen and a coach is using obscenities and he's treating you emotionally with some emotional violence as well, that's just as powerful or more so than anything you learned in school.
And Nick, if I may, the video footage of this altercation in Texas, there wasn't just one parent and one official involved in this ruckus. As soon as somebody exploded, everybody jumped into the fray, and that's teaching. Now you got little kids learning that their parents are using violence to solve a problem. It's not just the one individual that's at fault there. There's a lot of people at fault.
We're talking with Fred Eng for the National Alliance for Youth Sports, the founder and director, and that was John Neighbor, a multiple-time Olympic champion, but also a champion for youth around the country as well. We're trying to help champion your focus on the effect, the schooling, if you will, the learning, the lessons of the key values in life in youth sports. That's what everybody talks about. We're going to try to do something to make it easier for you as well. You're listening to Head Games on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122. We'll be right back.